thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of I'm Here For The Podcast. We have a wonderful show coming up for you. We would like to begin with a thought for the day. Life is about falling down 7 times, but getting back up 8. With that being said, I'm your co-host, Tori.
And I'm your girl, Trina. We appreciate your time and your viewership. When you have thousands of podcasting options, you chose us, and guess what? We choose you.
We choose you.
Absolutely. What's going on, T-Styles? How you doing today?
Oh, everything is wonderful. This is an amazing day. There's a lot of good things going on in my personal life that I can't share with you guys yet, but everything is going well.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. You're looking beautiful over there as always, girl. That good Zella May DNA, okay?
It is. It's going around over to YouTube.
We love Zella May. Gospel loves Zella May. She created all this, okay?
Yes, she did.
Well, you know what time it is.
We were talking about that yesterday. How she created such a beautiful family. How all of our DNA starts with her.
Absolutely. A beautiful woman. I wish I would have had the opportunity to meet her, you know? Man, my goodness.
Me too.
Just to have that history would have been such a blessing. But we got the pictures and the memories that our parents helped to keep alive. So we'll just roll with that. Well, you know what time it is. We're going to continue celebrating Women's History Month, showing love to our sheroes that affect our lives on a daily basis. Today, we're going to do a little different. We're going to spotlight our prayer partners. To those of you who are like, what are y'all talking about? Well, let me explain. Over about 20 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, T, God gave Tori a vision to start a prayer line. Was that right? 20 years ago? How long was it?
Mm-hmm. It's about 20, 22 years. Same difference.
Wow. Wow, my goodness, over 22 years to create a prayer line. And Tori actually talked about the prayer line in episode, I think it was maybe 2 or 3. So y'all just go ahead and run them episodes on back and see exactly what she's referring to. But basically, Matthew 18:20 says, when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, then he's in the midst. So what we do, the same group of women, every Sunday at 8:30 Central Standard Time, without fail, we get on the line to pray together. We intercede on each other's behalf as well as others. We pray about different subjects across the board, from family, you know, our children, our jobs, careers, educations, businesses, prayer requests that's come through during the week where we're, you know, interceding on others' behalves. We cover it all. These ladies have never failed me or never let me down. I know that I can always count on each and every one of them to lift me up on Sunday morning, as I will always do them. So I want to give a special shout out to each and every one of these ladies. Now, the first name you guys are already familiar with. We've named her in several of our episodes. Our best friend, Danae, a.k.a. DB. She's our heart, and she's like a third family member, honey. She's more than a friend. She's family.
Yeah.
Miss Nicole Jenkins, she is the founder of the Gems brand. She has a nonprofit organization that helps with what does her nonprofit do, Tori? She helps young women with
She just helps give back to not only young women, but women around the Chicagoland area. And now she's branching out to the Chicagoland area. She helps women and young women who are trying to get back into the workforce. She's just trying to help them to be all that they can be in every area.
Awesome. And I think I'm thinking of Junior Gems when I said the young woman. That's the okay, perfect. So yes, she is awesome, beautiful inside and out as well. And then we have Terry, Winning Woman Davis. This young lady is the epitome of all things health, fitness, wellness. She's a big pillar in her community. She does a lot for her her town, which we're all from, Danville, Illinois. She does a lot for the city. She is just awesome, beautiful inside and out. She also has a business called Always Wins, Winning Women's her nonprofit, but Always Wins is where she sells her accessories because that's where I got this beautiful hat. Yes, I'll have to get her social medias and we can drop. Yeah, thank you. I'll have to get her social medias as well as Nicole so we can drop them in the description box so you guys can always go and support our prayer partners. And last but not least, our visionary, Tori, my beautiful cousin, who is faithful and prays for everything, baby. She don't do nothing without consulting God. Okay. She is going to definitely keep him as the head of her life at all times. So I'm just appreciative that I have such a network of women that I know that have my best interest at heart, as I will always do with them. And I'm just thankful, Tori, that, you know, you not only received that message from God, but actually put it into fruition, and we're all benefiting from it. And it's just a pleasure to be a part of such an amazing group of women. So thank you. And thank you to all of our prayer partners. We love y'all. And thank y'all for being awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, with that being said, I want to highlight another prayer partner of mine. Her name is Gloria Smith. Gloria is one of my best friends from way back, and she is the most wonderful, kind-hearted human being that I know. She also is one of the most hardworking people that I know. She travels, and she kind of reminds me of a female Steve Harvey. She's always on the go. She's always doing 15 million things. Right now, she owns Cafe Social House here in Atlanta. So make sure you guys go out and support her. They have amazing food. Her and her husband have a business. Yes, her and her husband have a business called Luxury Credit Hack. And I think she has a new business where she gives back to the community called Inspire Her. So I wanted to make sure I shouted out Gloria Smith today as well. And I will put her information down in the chat, too, so you can go out and support Cafe Social.
Absolutely. Support our sisters. Make sure that y'all pay attention to what they got going on, because they have some great things going on that could potentially be beneficial to you and your family or your friends. So spread the word, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And sisters and brothers out there who are watching as well, we want to say thank you to the brothers that have been looking at our podcast as well. But yes, right now, I know you guys noticed that someone is missing from the episode today. So we have some news to share about that. It's with mixed emotions that I share that our sister and co-host Tia has decided to step away from the show. We want to express our deepest gratitude to Tia for her incredible contribution to our podcast. Her energy and insights have been such an inspiration, and it was a big part of our journey. Tia's presence on the show has enriched our conversation with her unique perspective to our discussions. We will miss Tia dearly. We're sad to see Tia go. We will support her and wish her all the best in her future endeavors. But to the listeners, we want to ensure you that the podcast will continue on, and we are excited about new opportunities and the directions that we are headed in for the show. And we hope that you will continue to join us and be here for the journey. With that being said, I want to talk about the next segment. Come to talk to Tree. What you got for us? Excuse me.
Well, in the words of P.T. Barnum, the show must go on. I would love to discuss what's going on in the world of politics. Please, I am not a political analyst of any by any means, but I definitely do want to share what's been reported in the news lately. So, y'all, come on, take this ride with us. This week, I think the major headline, Tori, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear this, but if I'm not reelected, it's going to be a bloodbath. those words kind of rang all around social media and all the news networks this week. And according to The Hill, Trump's remarks came during a campaign rally in Ohio supporting GOP Senate candidate Bernie Moreno. During the event, the former president warned China against trying to open factories in Mexico to sell cars to the U.S. No, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected, Trump said. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the country. Bye-bye. Them words sparked some big thunder across the world when he said that.
Not the bloodbath.
A whole bloodbath, okay? The comments resulted in backlash from figures including, of course, President Biden, who actually launched a campaign ad around the remarks. Got them Dems in an uproar. And the former speaker, Nancy Pelosi, asked, what does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? Pelosi said on CNN, there's something seriously wrong here. Well, the former president and his allies, of course, they pushed back against the scrutiny by saying he was talking about the auto industry. The fake news media and their Democratic partners in destruction of our nation pretended to be shocked by my use of the word bloodbath. Yeah, you think? Even though they fully understood that I was simply referring to imports allowed by crooked Joe Biden, which are killing the automobile industry, Trump wrote on Truth Social. Well, let me say this about Trump. He's going to be himself at all times. And me personally, I like to know what I'm dealing with. Keep it 100 with me. Explain it to me in black and white so there's no areas of shady gray. Now, am I saying I agree with his comment? No, not in the context in which the media is portraying his message. But after I saw the full video, I thought he was referring to the tariffs currently in place could potentially be the demise of the auto industry. I think it's important to always hear the full message opposed to clips posted on social media prior to making your assumption. Did you get a chance to actually hear him say that, T? Did you?
You know what? Well, I heard clips and I was going to speak from the clips and I was thinking, yes, I'm glad we did have this talk and I got some clarity because I was thinking that Trump was more or less acting with some terroristic threats that when he said it was going to be a bloodbath if we didn't vote for him. And I'm so glad that I heard what you said, because I was going to say some things that wouldn't be very favorable for people that want to vote for him. But I do have to agree with you that I do rather know what I'm dealing with, you know. So if you're going to be racist, I know that you're racist. If you're going to be for white supremacists, I want to know that. If you are for me, I want to know. So I would rather know who you are up front instead of being the president who's saying that they're for us, but you're not really for us. So
exactly. Yeah. Keep it real with me. At least I know what to deal with and I can make my decision based upon the truth opposed to lying. And then I'm making my decision based upon what you said, but that in all actuality, that's not what you meant. Give it to me straight. Straight up, right. No chaser, baby. Straight up, no chaser.
I like straight up, no chaser. I can't stand a liar.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because that just makes things so worse when you unravel the truth. And then you're like, why couldn't we just start from there? What was the truth? This is who you are, so be it. And please don't take this out of context. We are not trying to advise who you should vote for. In our previous episode, we always said to do your research and vote what's best in your interest. You know, absolutely. Don't listen to your mama, your daddy, what's going on social media. What works for you? You go online, you do the research, or wherever you need to do your research, and you make that informed decision. Well, I think that's all that I have on today's episode of Come and Talk to T. Until next time, stay in the know. T, what you got for us in Behind the Makeup?
Well, listeners, as usual, I like to let you guys know that we are not therapists. We're not doctors. We are just simply women who are giving our opinion about our listener letter segment. So, absolutely. With that being said, The letter goes, "Dear IH4I ladies, recently my best friend and I fell out about managing our friendship. I'm a 50-year-old woman with a son who has moved back home along with his girlfriend and their 2-year-old son. I work a full-time job with lots of overtime, which helps me better manage my household needs. I try to balance my time with my man, my best friend, and my grandchild when and wherever I can. As I mentioned my age, I mentioned it because I believe that the older you get, life be life, and yes, it does. And I don't Absolutely. Think that I should have to babysit your friendships to that degree. She gets upset when I'm unable to call or hang out frequently. In fact, she should have business of her own to tie her down as well. Am I wrong for putting me first? Sis, absolutely not. You know what? You should put yourself first, but I have to say that it's tough when you're navigating friendships and when you have all these challenges going on in life, that work-life balance and friendships and personal time, it can be a lot of work. But you want to prioritize self-care. You want to set boundaries in your friendship. You want to set boundaries in your relationship. You want to take care of your household and work. But I can say I'm a 51-year-old woman as well, but it can be done. And I can just only give you advice from my opinion. But what I'm working on right now is my self-care journey too. But every morning I make sure I'm taking some time for myself. And then, I go and do my workload, but I still try to pencil in time for my family. Basically what you need to do is you need to prioritize dating your man. You need to prioritize at least once a month hanging out with your girlfriends, because you want to have your girlfriends because they are they're part of your life support. It's, you need a friend, because your friend is what can help keep you going when times get hard. Like even for me, there's been a lot of situations in life. Men are great, but your girlfriends understand being a woman more than anybody. So what I would do is have a conversation with my friend, let her know how you're feeling, let her know that life is changing, but let her know that your friendship is important. Your friendship is important, and this is what I can give you at this time. And hopefully that'll suffice in the friendship. So what do you think about that, Trina? What do you have for this listener?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, T. This woman, being a 51-year-old woman, as I am as well, it seems as if her friend may be looking for something or the time that she was able to provide prior to her son and her grandbaby or the girlfriend moving back in. Maybe she had more time to provide. It's kind of weird that at this age we're still questioning our friends in regards to the time that we spend together. Like, I am I don't have a lot of female friends, because I definitely hold that word in high regards. Like, to be my friend, you have to, I'm not going to say that there's certain requirements, but to me, it's something that you grow up with. Like, we always refer to Danae as being our friend. Now, her and I live in two different states, and I may not see her for months. I talk to her often, but I may not see her for months. But when we catch up, it's like we never left off. You know, we don't talk to each other every day. She knows my kids. I know her kids. We have that bond to where we know that life goes on, but that doesn't stop us from being friends or prevent us from, being besties for life, So to me, I feel like this lady is kind of like asking for something that they did when they were a little bit younger, as far as being able to dedicate a lot of time to their friendship. She has a lot going on. She has a job, maybe a career. She has a man. She got a grandbaby. You know, she, right. Plus she still wants to spend some time with her son. So you can't expect to have a huge chunk of this woman's time because she just doesn't have it to give right now. And I wouldn't look at it in the perspective of, you know, she doesn't want to be my friend anymore. I would look at it like, ma'am, we grown. We 50, over 50. It's just certain things that we do and we don't do now. It's certain things that we're working on, like ourselves, to help us grow, you know, be it in our careers, educations, whatever, you know, maybe going on with us. But just know that your girl is going to always be your girl as long as y'all friends, but you may not be able to invest as much time as you once were able to do. So just like Tori said, plan that time out, even if it's once a quarter, once every 3 months, once a month, whatever you guys come up with to where it's just your time and you guys can hang out and, you know, catch up, continue that bond. But understand that your friend is not disrespecting you or doing away with your friendship. Baby, she just didn't grow up and life be life. So she just handling it all. Yes. So help her to, you know, don't make her feel bad by appearing that she doesn't want to spend time with you or doesn't want to hang out with you anymore. Come up with solutions as to what you guys can do to make sure that you're spending time with each other and growing at the same time. Just make sure that it's beneficial to both of you. But yeah, I just think that this woman is just grown up. You know, she's moving into her new, as like I like to refer to it as the second quarter, the second half of our lives, right? From birth to say what, maybe 50, I say those are first two quarters. That's the first half. Now we in the third and fourth quarter, baby. It's time to switch it up a little bit. We may not be able to give you everything that you're looking for, but that does not stop the fact that you're still our friend and we still love you and that we can still hang out. It's just going to be around our schedules now because things have changed. So that's a good one. That's a great one. That's a great question.
Right. I have to agree. But I think you guys will be fine as long as you have that communication and just let her know where you are in life. And hopefully she will hear what you said and that you guys can continue your friendship and continue to grow from it. Because sisterhood is definitely important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This next segment is our main segment of the day. Trina, you want to start us off with this segment?
Girl, first of all, let me just say how my sinuses is cutting up over here, okay? This all these pollens and ragweeds and pterodactyl particles floating around in the air.
Not the pterodactyl particles. Right. Yeah.
That's what it seemed like. I'm like, my goodness, wake up, eyes running, nose running, everything is running. But it's that time of the year, guys. So excuse me.
It's been giving me headaches, so. Headaches and runny nose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And to our sisters out there,
if y'all dealing with this, I'm going to tell you what works for that too. Get you some sinus Advil and congestion medicine. It really helps during this season.
Yes, yes. And I actually been taking a natural approach too, where I take a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a teaspoon of raw honey. The raw honey is supposed to help with like all the pollens and everything that's going around to control your sinuses. So I'll let y'all know how that goes. I've only been doing it for about maybe about 2 weeks now. I'd like to give it at least 30 days to see if I feel any different, but yeah. Again, not a doctor, just something that I do personally.
Yeah. You know what you turned me on to that I really like is I like the raw honey lemon water. That's really good. I don't know if it's good for the sinus season, but I will start to implement it over the next 30 days as well. And I'll tell you if I start feeling better.
Okay. Yeah, it does. That's the body right. I do. Okay. I do raw ginger. I boil raw ginger in the morning with a bottle of water, a 16-ounce of water, some raw ginger, and then I pour the raw honey into that too. baby, the best tea ever. And it helps with things for me, like indigestion. Sometimes the ginger definitely helps to coat my stomach and everything. So yeah, it works for me. Just little things that we could just throw out there, ladies, that we could share that works for us.
Yeah, that's really
see how
good.
It works for you.
So are you cutting the skin off? Do you leave the skin on?
Nope, on the ginger? I cut the skin off of the ginger and then I just chunk it up. So cut the skin off and then just make little ginger chunks, pop it into a pan with a bottle of water. I usually boil it for about 15 minutes just to make a nice, you know, hot pot of tea, and just pour it in with my raw honey. Baby, it gets my day off to a great start.
Okay.
So something you guys might want to try.
Yes.
Yeah. So as T just previously mentioned, we are going to discuss today how to bounce back from loss. Wow, that's a deep topic. And man, it's so many different aspects that we could just, you know, touch bases on. I know that growing up, I was always taught that, I'm not going to even say taught, but I'm just going to say that I always thought that once you lose something, that's it. Like that, I mean, you just went through it, you had the experience, and that was it. That was over with. You know, you just kind of like push forward, but I don't know if you necessarily move on, because there's a difference between pushing forward and moving on, right? So, I think this is a great topic to discuss, Tori. Has there been anything that you have lost and then you bounced back from that you could comment on?
Well, I'm going to say that I can't say that I've bounced back from this situation, but it's a day by day recovery process. But about 6 years ago, I lost my mother. That's why, if you guys have noticed during this Shiro month, I haven't, you know, shouted out my mom, because she's been gone from my life for the past 6 years. Just to give you a little background, I am my mom's only child. Her name is Dolly, and she's Trina's Aunt Diva D, as Trina would call her.
Absolutely, Diva D.
Yeah. But my mom passed away 6 years ago. We lost her to breast cancer. And with that was the hardest thing that I had to, I guess, bounce back from in my life. I would say, someone said to me that when you go through death of the loss of a mother, it's like having an invisible umbilical cord being cut from your body. And I swear, it did. It felt like something was severed from me. But during that time, it was so weird. I don't know if there's any other listeners out there that can relate to what I'm about to say. But when my mom first died, of course, it was definitely heartbreaking. When I say my mom was strong through the whole process, I did not think that cancer was gonna take her, because at one point we thought she was in remission, and then the next year she was gone, and it happened. It was very aggressive, and it happened so quickly that I was hurt when they told me. But from that point on, I was walking around in disbelief. I guess there's like five stages of grieving. I can't remember every stage, but I know denial is one of the stages. And once my mom passed away, I knew she was gone, but for the first couple of years, I kept feeling like she was on vacation and she was gonna return home. And it wasn't just me, it was my children as well. We all were kind of thinking, like, it just didn't feel real. And for a while, I felt as though, oh, she gonna come back, or, you know, she's gonna call me. I didn't say it out loud, but it just felt like she was gonna come back. But I think by like year three, it really hit home that this woman was never returning. But I don't know if God had put a shield around me or something to protect my heart so that I could continue to go on and cope through the situation. Because I know the first couple of years, one of the things that I was doing was I had started exercising real hard. I would do a whole lot of walking. I was in the gym, walking and going to the gym. I was doing two-a-days. And I know I started losing weight, but it wasn't about weight loss, but it was just about filling the void. So that was one of the things that was going on. I was trying to fill this emptiness that was there. And with that was one of the things that happened. But I do remember the day that my mom died. It was September the 17th. She actually she passed on her wedding anniversary. And I knew she gave up the ghost on that day. But my dad, he had brought her flowers and he was in there talking to her. She was on life support. But I remember telling Danae that she was gone, but my dad wasn't ready to realize that she wasn't coming back. But I'm at the elevator after I hung up from Danae, and I remember God telling me that I'm not gonna leave you alone. So during that time, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I lost my mom. Well, let me back up. I was saying to him first, Lord, I lost my mom. I went through a divorce. You know, it's just me and my kids. What am I going to do? And he ends up saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. And then a month later, I end up seeing a couple that looked happy together. And they told me they met on Bumble. And that made me go out on Bumble. And that's how I ended up meeting Derek. But I guess one of the ways that I did bounce back was He took my mom, but he blessed me with Derek and his other five. So he gave me six additional people in my life to help me during that time frame. So I didn't have time to focus on the death all the time, because there was Derek. And let me give you a little backstory on Derek. And I think I've said this before, but Derek had just went through a loss himself. His wife had died a year and a half prior to us meeting. So I remember one of the stages of grief is being angry. And I was saying that I wasn't having Thanksgiving that year. I wasn't going to have Christmas. Because if my mom's not here, we're not doing it. Why would you do it?
And what are we celebrating?
Yeah, what are we celebrating? Because my mom's gone, and my kids, they didn't understand why we weren't gonna have Christmas, because that's been huge in our family. But I remember Derek,
even though it was Jesus's birthday, which we were celebrating. I understand your heart, because it was so broken. You just didn't want to celebrate anything at that point. I get it.
Right. Yeah. And so I was angry at that moment. And Derek was like, you know what? I understand, you know, what you're going through. I felt the same way when his wife had passed. He said, but I had to think, would she want me to go ahead and keep living and keep celebrating for the kids? He was like, and you have to do the same. He said that first year, he told me that he cried all the way through it. And he was like, it's okay if you gotta cry all the way through it, but you would do, he said, would your mother want you to do this? And my mother would be like, what? We ain't having Christmas? We ain't having Thanksgiving? Yeah. My mother was all about celebrating life. So
family. Absolutely. Yes.
So she would have wanted me to celebrate those times. So I guess so with me going through those lives, with me going through those holidays, I had to realize that it's going to be hard, but my mother will want me to do these things. She will want me to go on and live my life. So I did those things. And so I think Thanksgiving, I cried, but with Christmas, I didn't have to cry. We actually went out to your mom's house and we started doing balloon releases or whatever to celebrate mom around that time. Yep. So, it's always a way to take a situation that is difficult and make it into something not so bad. So, and the other thing is my mom, even though the crazy thing was I was 46 years old when my mom passed, but she had told Trina's mom to make sure she looked out for me and my girls. And for the first few years, my aunt was around us to make sure that we were okay. She would come around every year around my mother's birthday, because anybody that experienced death, it's like death, especially of a mother, it's like those birthdays are the hardest days, and Mother's Day became real hard. But, you know, Aunt Ruby was right there with us to make it fun and make us have a better time than for it to be a sad situation for us. So I think those things helped us bounce back as well.
Kind of piggybacking off of what you said about my DVD, I'm just so thankful that, you know, the year before she passed, we had the opportunity to kind of do Thanksgiving at my house, where we had Uncle Eddie, who's no longer with us from the ugly cancer, Aunt Dolly. We had mom, we had all the cousins, our kids that hadn't even met each other. So just to have the opportunity to spend that time with her and just love on her as she did with us, man, it was just awesome. I'll forever keep those memories from that last Thanksgiving. So I'm glad that we actually did create those memories. And that's why it's so important moving forward that we always do that, cousin, because you just never know what our time on earth looks like. So we always want to make the best of it and make sure that we're creating memories for not only for us, but for our kids as well, you know?
Right. No, I agree. And just for anybody out there, it's not just about mothers, but I'm going to say mothers are a special part in our life. And
absolutely.
Yes. If you do have a mother out there, just like the listener was saying in her listener letter, life be life. But make sure that you make time for your mother. Spend some quality time with her, because once they're gone, you know, you can't get that time back. And I'm going to say, the older I got, I became wrapped up in life, and I did not take a whole lot of pictures with my mom like I wish I should have. And nowadays I look for those memories, and I don't have very many, but I am grateful for the few that I have. So to all the listeners out there, make sure you're taking a lot of pictures with your mom. Create memories. But I'm not going to say that I'm sad about my situation with my mom, because my mother, I don't know if she knew that she wasn't going to be here long, but the last 5 years of her life, we did a lot of fun stuff together. She kind of forced herself into my busy life. And with that, I can say I have so many fun memories that we have. I don't have a whole lot of them. I don't have them on camera, but I do have them in my mind, and I'm grateful for the last 5 years. Like you said, that Thanksgiving was great. See, we don't really have pictures from that. Not a whole lot of them, but
we didn't even take a lot of pictures. Can you believe that?
That was
crazy. Yeah.
So it's just like, hey, I learned from one of my friends, Nicole. They always capture life's moments. So from that going forward, when I say I try to take a lot more pictures, because I want to make sure that I have all my memories on film. That is important.
Yes, I agree. I agree, cousin. I think I want to touch bases, seeing that you provided such an amazing example. I think I want to touch bases on what some common misconceptions are about failure and how we can reframe our mindset to view it more positively. I think that growing up, just as a kid. You're going to school, you're going to school to get great grades, but you get an F. You see the F as a failure, where it should be viewed as an opportunity to get better in whatever it was that you failed in, right? So I'm going to use this. I went to nursing school and to be an LVN, and went through the nursing program, took the state test and everything, and I didn't pass the state test. I was devastated. I mean, because I really like poured my all, or what I thought was my all, into trying to, you know, successfully pass this course so that I could become a nurse. I'll never forget this. It's like my mom, the results actually went to my mom's house. And I was like, don't open it. Don't open it. Please don't open it, mom. Right. Because I wanted to open it for myself. You know, I did all the work. I wanted to open it up. But by the time I had got to her house, she had opened it up and looked at it. And she was like, I was like, mom, why? Of course she did. I was like, mom, why you open it? And so I'm mad that she opened it. She was like, well, you failed anyway. I'm like, dang, that really
hurt. Oh,
like,
no,
Ruby. I'm like, dang, that hurt so bad. First of all, no. I didn't work my butt off to try to pass this test, right? And then for her to say that, I'm like, ah. So that immediately was like, to me, nursing ain't for you. That you failed, it is what it is. Don't even try to find something else to do with yourself, right? So now I got these student loans for the nursing program. That I didn't, right. I passed the course, but I didn't pass the state exam. I only took it once. But when she's like, you failed, I was like, damn, am I not good enough to do? Maybe this ain't for me. Okay. Well, I failed. I never even went back to take it again, T. You know what I mean? Like, I never went back to take the test again. I only took it the state exam one time. And I was just like, forget it. I'm not going back and taking that test again. Opposed to me looking at it like, hey, this is the first time, girl. Who passes this test on the first time? A lot of people fail on the first time. Keep going until you complete it. You know, find whatever it was that you were lacking, study that, and go try it again. I just totally gave up on it. But what that taught me at this age, and not only that, as a parent, is to instill in my children that anything that you go through is never a loss. That L ain't a loss. It's a lesson, baby. You got to keep on moving forward, understanding what you failed, perfecting that, and trying it again. But the key is to never quit. Because once you quit, that's it. You don't even have you don't have no get back. Like, you can't even try to start it over again once you quit. It's a done deal. You just pretty much gave up on it. So the key in life is to just keep moving forward, focus on what you failed at, perfect that, and try it again until you defeat it. Just move forward. So now, anything that I feel that I lack in or I'm not comfortable with, that takes me totally outside of my comfort zone, that's my goal to accomplish moving forward. Now, at the ripe old age of 51, anything that steps in my way and that pretends to defeat me, I'm fighting so hard. Oh, you ain't winning. You ain't winning. We gonna get this. We gonna make sure that I get exactly what it is that I'm trying to accomplish done. So I just think that it's very important that we make sure that our kids understand that nothing is a loss. It's always a lesson for you to get better in whatever area you feel that you're lacking in. So just keep fighting until you accomplish it.
I have to agree. Because I'm not going to say I did that with nursing or whatever, but I did do that in school. But for me, I went to all those different, I went to several different colleges. I was supposed to become a computer information analyst was what I wanted to be growing up. And I would go to school and then I would quit. But I think I would quit because my focus was more on making money. And God did bless me, you know, in my 20s to make decent money. So I didn't make school the priority. So I ended up going back and back to school quite a few times. I probably have enough credits right now to have a degree. And I do want to say, guys, that I don't have my degree, but I probably...
Neither do I.
All the years can... Look, all the years combined in school, I should have had one, but I did quit a lot. And I told my kids that no matter what, you guys can't quit, because quitting is not an option. But for me, just like you, because I went to school so many times and I didn't complete it, but God did bless me to have wonderful careers and to become an entrepreneur and things like that. I let my kids know that no matter what, I don't quit. I don't show them that quitting is an option. It's like,
it's not.
I tell them, what would you do if quitting is not an option? Like for my child that's in school right now, I'm like, I don't care if it takes you 8 years, you're going to walk out with that piece of paper. You know, it does not matter. But quitting is not an option. So what do you do when quitting is not an option? And that's what I want them to keep in their mind. You keep going.
That's it.
You keep, just like you said, the goal is to keep moving forward in all aspects of your life, you know? And then I also say that
not to let failure be the end all be all, you know? You can't let that. That's good.
And then even at 51, I don't know for you, but starting over, it can be hard. It can be scary, you just have to do it. You have to push past your fear. And once you push past the fear, it ends up being, everything ends up working out anyway. So you might as well keep moving forward, because what I've learned in my 51 years, everything works out for my good. God has always given me something comparable or better, even with the loss of my mom. You can never replace the loss of a mom. But even once he closed that chapter in my life, he gave me 6 more people in my life to six more people to depend on. And hopefully, you know, I was telling Derek, I said, even with that, I said, we're gonna end up having a big family. I said, because these kids are gonna have kids and things like that. And he's like, shoot, well we gonna be on vacation. They gonna have some kids
themselves, but they gonna have a big family.
Right. Yeah. He's like, we out of here. But I always wanted a big family. It's so funny. I always wanted a big family, but it was God only gave my mom me. But with that, you know, she gave me my kids, and then now Derek's kids, and you know, it's just like, what if, you know, I'm just grateful that, you know, I just didn't give up on dating or give up on love after my mom passed. You know, I'm just grateful that I did go out on Bumble after that. That's, you know, setback in life with my mom. Because at one point I really was like, I went through a divorce and I'm like, I'm not going to date. I'm going to make my business my husband. And for 5 years, I did. I was not interested in dating. I was married to my business and making money. But family has always been important to me. And I think that if I had given up or if I had quit that, I wouldn't have the family that I have. And I have to say that I love my family.
Yeah, absolutely. Every shot you don't take, consider it a miss. Right? You got to shoot your shot in order to see if it's going to go in or not.
Girl, okay.
Let me give you some lyrics from my best artist, my best artist out there. I ain't going to even say rapper because he's a songwriter. But he says, every shot you don't take, consider it a miss. I can lead you to the lake, but you still got a fish, baby. So make sure that you understand that every time you do something, it may or may not work. The value is in the lesson that you've obtained while you were trying to make it happen. You got to put yourself out there. You can't just be stagnant. You can't just say, oh, I fell from that. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. You got to keep going until you find what works for you and what's right for you. Because God going to be there at the end of the day, regardless. He going to put you where you need to be, but you still have to do the work, because faith without works is dead, baby. So I'm gonna need you to do everything that you need to do to accomplish what it is, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. But just don't give up. Don't quit, and you will not fail at what it is you're trying to accomplish.
With that being said,
I like that. That was a good subject tee.
I know, right? I'm gonna have to play this tape back and make a t-shirt out of your favorite artist lyric.
Yes, baby. Well,
yeah, mm-hmm, you can say,
absolutely.
Who is the artist?
AKA my son. His name is Shakai. You can catch him on all streaming platforms. Free Shakai. Absolutely. He is a sync artist. He does a lot of songs for motivational purposes, different brands, NBA 2K. He's been on, he was actually even on the TV show, what was it called? Rhythm and Flow. Rhythm and Flow. That was the name of it. But yes, Free Shakai on all platforms, and even go and download some of his music. Wherever you listen to your music, he's there.
Okay.
Actually, yes, he is Shakai, Shaki.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, good. So when I put those lyrics on a t-shirt, cousin, don't sue me.
Don't sue me. I'm your cousin, boy.
Right. Exactly. Well, listeners, with that being said, if you have any losses or anything that you want to talk about, make sure you drop them in the comments.
Please.
If you could relate to the subjects that we're talking about, make sure that you are liking and sharing us on all social media platforms. We are trying to increase our numbers on YouTube and Spotify. So make sure that you guys listen to us in the car. And if there's topics that you want to hear us talk about, you can send it in to info@imhereforthepodcast. We'll put that information down in the chat for you as well. And if you want to send us listener letters, please do so at questions@imhereforit.com. Each week, Trina and I will be bringing you more salacious topics that you hopefully that you guys will be willing to tune into and listen to. And we just want to say thank you, listeners, and we are here for it.
We are here for it. Thank you for your time. Until next time. Bye.
I'm here for it.